So we are marching our way through Ecclesiastes, the book of Ecclesiastes. And before we get going, I have to do something that I neither enjoy nor necessarily want to do, but I need to do it. I made an error. I made a mistake last week. And I've always said, I don't mind being wrong once. That's probably a fib. But I don't mind being wrong once, but I don't want to be wrong twice. And if I say something wrong, I'm going to come right back out where I said it and fix it. Because, you know, as the pastor, you should have an expectation of me that I should know the scripture, all right? So, here's what I did. Last week, while I was talking to you about Solomon, and I said that Solomon had asked for wisdom, all right? And Solomon had gotten wisdom, all right, from God, and because he asked for wisdom, he also got power and riches. That is all true, but here's what I did. In the middle of that story, I talked about Solomon's dream and how Solomon heard from the Lord. That wasn't Solomon. That was Samuel, okay? And it was an innocent error and an error in my speaking, but I misspoke. So that you know, however, that both of these things are true, in 1 Samuel chapter 3, we have the story of Samuel, all right? And it says, one night Eli, who was whose eyes were becoming so weak he could barely see, the lamp had not gone out, and the Lord called to Samuel, and Samuel said, here I am. And he ran to Eli, and he said, here I am, you called me. And Eli said, no, I didn't. Again, the Lord called to Samuel, Eli, I called me. My son, I didn't call you, go back. The third time he called, and Eli told him to go answer God. All right? Now, literally, a couple books over in 1 Kings, all right? 1 Kings, just flip to your right after 2 Samuel and in 1 Kings. Chapter 3. You'll see the bold type there. Solomon asks for wisdom. All right? Ask for whatever you want me to give to you, God said. And Solomon said, you have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David. He was faithful to you. You have continued his greatness to this very day. Now, Lord, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, but I am only a little child and do not know what to do. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern. All right? Both of these gentlemen were children. It was an error. There was no dream for Solomon. It was Samuel. I apologize for misspeaking, and I want to make sure that my teachings are right and true and biblical, all right? Samuel had the dream, but Solomon was a child who asked for wisdom, and God gave him both wisdom and riches, all right? Clarified and done. My bad, all right? Now, thank you for those who pointed that out. That is not misspeaking. That is not something I'm offended by. I want to get it right. I want to get it right. I want to get it right. So, now, Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. We are in the middle of, listen, you're going to hear it over and over again. This is, it's a super fun book, but it's not a fun book at all. Because all Solomon really does is he goes, I did this, worthless. I did this, meaningless. I did this, worthless. I did this, meaningless. And this whole book is him lamenting about everything, what? Under the sun. Say it again. He's talking about everything, what? Under the sun. 28, 29 times, give or take how it's translated. He says the words under the sun. That phrase is imperative to how you and I teach, learn, find ourselves in this book. Find our nugget each week in this book. He is speaking about everything under the sun, translated on this side of heaven. Everything on this side of heaven. And we talked about something, we need to reiterate it today. Solomon was richer, more powerful, more wise, more popular than any individual that ever lived before him and, percent speaking, ever has lived after him. Incomparable. And we'll get into some of what I'm talking about today. Indescribable riches, power, and popularity this man had. And so when this man goes through what he's going through and runs the races that he runs and tests the waters that he tests, please understand that there is no one wiser or more discerning on the planet to have been through these things and then be able to look at them and go, yes, it was worth it. No, it wasn't worth it. There's nobody more qualified than him to do that. And there's nobody with more power than him to try to pull it off. And there's nobody with more money than him to do it better than anybody else. We're going to see how that plays out today. So in chapter 1, he goes through all of these things that he basically says, everything you chase, it's going to come back. You wake up and you have a good day. But guess what? Tomorrow you're going to wake up, go back to Starbucks, back to your workplace, back to the lunch, back to the dinner, do the dishes. You do laundry this week, guess what there is next week? Laundry. You mow the yard this week, guess what there is next week? Yard work. You cut your hair last week, guess what you do next month? Cut your hair. You shave 3 days ago, guess what you got to do today? Shave, unless you're Paul Del Rio. He shaved this morning, he's going to have to shave after church, okay? That man's got a 10:30 a.m. shadow, okay? So he says, all right. And we can almost see the progression through the next few of his age, too. The things he goes after at each stage are almost indicative of ages. You're gonna see what's going on. And yesterday was good. I Ubered for a little while yesterday around campus, okay, and took people toward the game and away from the game and into the collegiate housing across the street from the game. And you get wide-eyed. So here's Solomon saying, all right, time to run the experiment. Is there anything out there worth it? Anything? Let us see. I thought in my heart, come now, I will test you with pleasure to find out what is good, but that also proved to be meaningless. Laughter, I said, is foolish. He means their joy, the expression of happy, the expression of fun things that comes from doing pleasurous activities. I tried wine and embraced folly. I did good things and I did stupid things. I did ritzy things and I did not ritzy things. I had filet and I had Oscar Mayer. All right? I got a text this week in the middle of the week before I got out of bed that said, I have taken of the Cristal and I have partaken of the Pabst. And she thought that was absolutely hilarious. I don't know. But he has done the high society and the low society, all right? So here's what Solomon does first. He says, I'm going to take on what this world would call hedonism. I'm going to jump at the pursuit of pleasure, all right? He pulled a Prince. Tonight we're going to party like it's 1699, okay? Way back when, or just 99, whatever it was, you know, back then, all right? Like BC, all right? So he says, I'm going to party. Now listen to me. Lest you think that there is some kind of party, concert, venue that you've been to, all right? Something that you've done and you're like, oh, that was the thing. Let's just look at what Solomon does. Flip back. Remember we were in 1 Kings? Let's flip back to 1 Kings for a minute. Right after Solomon's given wisdom, he's building the temple, all right? He builds a place, has the temple furnishing. Solomon dedicates the temple. All of this goes on. Solomon's splendor, Solomon's other activities. You can read through there everything that's going on. But let's look over here at Solomon chapter 4 in the middle, after all the names. Solomon's daily provisions. When Solomon decided he was going to party, all right, he said, I'm going to party like nobody's ever partied before, all right? And some of you guys are like, we had a whole pig. Thank you, Les. We had a little soiree here at the church. We had a whole pig. Not a part of a pig. Not a few pieces of barbecue. We had a whole pig. Guy next door goes, that's nothing. We did a whole cow. We had a whole cow. You know, we fed 80, 90, 100 people on that pig, all right? And this guy says, we had a cow, man. We fed 300 or 400 people. Solomon, daily provisions were 30 cores of fine flour, 60 cores of meal. We count by cups. This brother counts in liters and doesn't do one cup or two cups, 30 and 60 liters of flour and meal. 10 head of stall-fed cattle, 10, and 20 pasture-fed cattle, and 100 sheep, 100 goats, 100 deer, 100 gazelle, 100 roebuck, 100 fowl. A day. Solomon looks at your pig and goes, I use a toothpick for that. Different books have different numbers, okay? This would feed a full Rupp Arena. And you'd have leftovers. Every day when Solomon threw a party, he threw a party for 20,000 people. They did not hire DJs. If he heard a song on the radio he liked, he went and bought the band. Who's that? Imagine Dragons. They're playing tonight. I was down at the Jerusalem Cafe. No, you're playing the Palace. All right, come on. If he wants to, if it's a beautiful day, he just buys Bono. I'm not downloading it. I'm buying the band for tonight. I'm buying them for tonight, okay? I own them now. I party. I know how to do this. Nobody's ever done this quite like me, okay? Are you starting to fathom, all right, the extremeness of this? Let me go back to Ecclesiastes. I tried cheering myself with wine, embracing folly, wanted to see what was under heaven. I undertook projects. I built houses. We're going to get to that in a minute. Made garden parks, made reservoirs, bought male and female slaves. All right, so I acquired men and women singers, a harem, the delight of the Lord. I became far greater than anyone in Jerusalem before me. So he invites all these people over. He says, I'm going to indulge in food. I'm going to indulge in beverage. I'm going to indulge in company. Okay? Ready for this? Then he says, and y'all be mature, but I'm going to indulge in women. Okay? Now, I am not condoning any of this. I'm just going to use a name that a lot of you know. Hugh Hefner is a name everybody knows when it comes to having women around. Solomon would have looked at Hugh Hefner and sneezed. Six. I married six women yesterday. He had 700 wives. Seven hundred. Men, if you stopped and tried to grasp the responsibility there, you'd get to about 11, 12, 30 and stop figuring it out. I'm exhausted at thinking about it at single digit numbers. This guy didn't do double digits, triple digits. And then the Bible says he had 300 what they call concubines. Nothing like a porcupine, okay? Not the same. This is almost a wife. All the pleasure, none of the responsibility. Here's the point. When it came to testing the pleasure to see, all right, you've heard this. Divorces happen because people trade in for a newer model. Different color, different hair, different body type. At 1,000, when you're the king, there's not a short or a tall, a big or a small, a dark or a light, a blonde or a brunette, a style, a race that he hasn't tried. He has exhausted the possibilities of pleasure in that realm. You can't, no, not possible for you, me, any other man that's ever lived. And when he got to the end of that, you know what he said? Meaningless. You know why? Because no matter what he tried to quench his thirst with, guess what he woke up? Church, do you get it? No matter what he tried to quench his thirst with, he still woke up. Let's be clear about something else. Good Baptist folks, good old church people, hear me out. I'm going to say something that you may not like because we grew up hearing something the opposite of what I'm going to say. I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight, and I found reward. Solomon never, ever, ever goes, man, that party last night, that was awful. He never says that. He says, that was fun. We had lots of beverages, and it was fun. We danced till we dropped, and it was fun. I had all these wives, and I ain't gonna lie. It's fun. I find some joy there, some hope there, some pleasure there. Many times I find pleasure. He never says, oh, that sex stuff, not for me. That partying, not for me. That working for something, not. Listen, he never says that. And we need to stop saying it. It's worse if we lie about it. Tell the truth. Sex is fun. And it is. The way God designed it. Food is amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing. And it is the way God designed it. But sex perverted is all of the things we're running from. Food perverted is gluttony. And it is a sin. Just like alcohol perverted is what? Drunkenness. And that is a sin. We have taken all of these amazing things that God created. Let's not lie about it. God created it, formed it. There's nothing that Solomon did that God didn't make it so that he could. Let's go back to the beginning here. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm very serious. God takes a man, God takes a woman, puts them in paradise naked and says, have a ball. In fact, he says, be fruitful and guess how that happens? This is all by God's design. But guess what? Even at the end of the design, with all the great things that God has given us, whether we use them and or abuse them, those who use them and those who abuse them find themselves the next day what? Still wanting more. Thirsty. Never enough women. Never enough drugs. Never enough money. Never enough power. Never enough friends. It's never enough. Why? Because nothing under the sun what? Satisfies. And satisfaction can only be found what? Beyond the sun. Why? Because we are aliens and strangers to what? So let's get real about it. So he moves from pleasure to something else. I undertook great projects. I see him getting a little older, you know? He did the party scene, and I have. I've picked up freshmen in the car down there and taking them to their places, and I've picked up 50-year, 60-year seniors. They're dressed completely different. The freshmen have on the UK blue, aren't they? They have on their UK blue rompers and the UK blue dresses and the shorts that they should have paid half price for because they only got half a short, okay? But 50-year seniors, UK jersey, T-shirt underneath, genes. They've done it. They've moved forward. Solomon goes, okay, I didn't find pleasure in all the hedonistic stuff. I'm going to build stuff. Okay, now when Solomon says he's going to build stuff, it's different. I find some pleasure, like this week, there's a new area of children's ministry that we need. Our children are still growing, so we're creating a middle area for kids, like K1 or K1-2, and they're going to get the room upstairs. And Cy came in the other day, and she said, can we call it the clubhouse? And I was like, that's cool, it's upstairs, like the kids with a K, clubhouse with a K. She said, yeah. She said, and a sign, we need a sign. I was like, you know, like the Little Rascal sign. So guess what I did this week? I got some pallet wood and some paint and got my best kid on, and I have created this wooden sign that says Kids Clubhouse, and then I took a different color and made on Main, scribbled it in like I forgot it, you know, and it's that, I feel good about that. How many of you mowed the yard this week? Anybody mowed the yard this week? Bobby mowed his yard, Corman mowed his yard and his mom's yard, we mowed Miss Pat's yard. After I mow the yard, the next day when I come out and the dew's on the yard and you can see those stripes, do you ever just go, yeah? You know what I'm talking about? I have a moment. When I walk out, does anybody know what I'm talking about? When I walk out of the house the morning after I've mowed, I'm like, me, man. Me make mow. Lines. Golf course look good. Yeah, I get that, all right? Compared to Solomon, all right, I took a pair of tweezers and clipped one blade, all right? Listen to this. He said, I built houses for myself, okay? The temple at Jerusalem was built under this man's guidance, okay? It took 7 years. For all the workers, the man who owned everything could muster to get it done. Thousands upon thousands, maybe even hundreds of thousands of people working 7 years to build this place, which became one of the 7 ancient wonders of the world. Solomon's house took 14. Solomon's house took 14. And he goes, I built stuff. No. It says later that he built a house, you're going to understand this, for every one of his wives, too. And then he thought, I need some flowers, some shrubs, maybe a tree. Listen, so I made gardens, parks, reservoirs, groves. In one translation, it says forests. The man grew forests, not shrubs, forests. There's a place near Jerusalem where there are giant craters in the ground. You can still see it today. It looks like balls of rock fell from the sky and cratered out. Those are Solomon's reservoirs. He filled them up with the oceans, literally the water from the rivers, in order to water his groves. He made lakes to water his plants. We fill buckets that spout. I'm a little teapot short and stout. Solomon's like, I make the ocean. I have people who carry buckets and lines million times over. I don't know when Solomon became a Russian, but there you go. That there's funny. I bought male and female. He says, I worked and I worked and I worked. We can't fathom the work. He put on his tank top and he worked through all this. And then he said, okay, I've worked. Let's try this whole everybody serve me thing. So look at verse 7. I bought male slaves. I bought female slaves. My slaves made slave babies. They were born in my house. I owned more herds and more flocks. I amassed silver and gold. I acquired men and women and a harem and the delight of every heart of man. I decided that after I worked, I wasn't going to do anything. Not that I recommend this movie at all. It's hilarious. Coming to America, the very first scene. I mean, he gets out of bed to somebody unrolling his covers. He walks on rose petals where somebody washes his face. Somebody brushes his teeth. Somebody wipes his bottom. They call for the royal wipers. I mean, Solomon says, I'm going to be that guy. I'm not going to do anything. People are going to feed me, clothe me. I'm going to get served. There's not a wine I'm not going to taste, a food I'm not going to be fed, an animal I'm not going to raise. I did the pleasure thing, the food and drink thing, the sex thing, the work thing. I tried to labor. I did the money thing. I amassed more gold and silver than anybody's ever amassed before. Yet, verse 11, when I surveyed all my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless. A chasing after the wind. Listen, listen, listen. Nothing was gained under the sun. Let's take on another point here, okay? Just in case you don't feel like, and I don't know how you could, but just in case you don't feel like Solomon exhausted all possibilities. Just in case you're arrogant enough or prideful enough to walk up to a friend of yours or another person you know and go, there's probably a drink he didn't try. There's probably a way to put the food together he didn't put it together. There's probably a brand of woman that he didn't. Just in case you want to use that approach, which is frivolous and fruitless and, well, stupid, all right? Your other option is then to go, well, Solomon did it, so I should do it. I mean, this is the Bible. This is Solomon, the wisest man on earth. He partied, I should party. He worked, I should work. He had women, I should have women. Just in case you think that, Solomon did it before Solomon wrote it. And now that Solomon has done it and wrote it so that we know what to do and what not to do, it's called sin. The problem with your logic is that Solomon was the test. Solomon was the example. Solomon has gone through it. And guess what? Some of you have gone through it. Some of you have run the rat race. You've tried to build more. You've tried to get a better paying job. You've tried to find a second husband. You've tried to find a third wife. You've tried to find more money. This pack comes like, oh, no. Did one husband. That's good. I'm out. Tried that. I'm out. Okay? Listen to me. We've all had our, well, you know what we all call it? My past. Guess what? Your sons, your daughters, they're going to search too. They're going to dip their toes in the water too. I am not giving them permission. I'm going to do exactly what Solomon did. I'm going to do what you do, what we need to do. Here's what I did. Here's what it got me. Here's what's coming. But I love you. Choose. That's what Solomon has done for us. This is not about following him. It's about him saying, I am smarter, richer, faster, stronger, better looking than any of you will ever be in your life. I've done it all for you, and I'm sitting at the table looking you in the eyes going, chase something more. And as he looked for something more, guess what he found? Nothing. Which is why this is such a sad, sad, sad book. But it's not. Because there's another place to look. I have chased everything. Again, you're going to hear it 12 times. Under the sun. But I need to search my heart. Turn my eyes. Avert my gaze. Change my desires. To something what? Beyond the sun. What does the Bible say? We must be transformed by the what? Renewing of our mind. Then we will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, perfect will. There has to be a physical, emotional, spiritual, psychological, brain, heart change. Do not be conformed to the pattern, what? Of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There is something that is outside of the boundaries and the borders of this earth that a boundless God has created us for. Beyond the sun. Next week we're going to get to one of the more famous passages in all of Ecclesiastes that has sparked songs. To everything, turn, turn, turn. There is a season, turn, turn, turn. We'll probably have to play it. We'll probably have to play it. Something, we'll figure it out. We're going to break that one down next week. It's going to be good. I'm excited about it. When I first learned what it meant, apart from what I thought it meant, it changed my perspective on Solomon, God, and life under the sun. Bow your head and close your eyes and listen. Bow your head, close your eyes and listen. Listen to my voice. What was I made for? As the creator of the universe knitted me with his hands inside my mother's womb, as he knitted me, what did he add in? What did he take away? What did he grant me? What did he create me to do? And how will I, chasing him and only him, throw each of those things generously into my wife, into my husband, into my children, into my church? How will I find joy greater than this world can offer? God wants to whisper not only the answer to you, but he wants to empower you. For I have not given you a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. He wants to help you get there. As we begin to sing this song, here's what I'm going to ask of you. Cry out to Jesus. Search beyond the sun.